Well, it is feeling good to be out the house, out the office, and we're at the Boomtown Casino today at the Sportsbook and Cafe. Myself and Mike Haas here bringing you Sports Talk 4 to 7 today. We're going to be talking plenty of Saints action as they do continue their interviews for the head coach and getting into the AFC and NFC championship games on Sunday. Cannot wait to be on the couch watching those games in action. Mike, how you been doing, man?
I've been good, man. It's been, you know, crazy like everything else. You know, big news of the afternoon, of course, all these roadways opening up. I-10 and 55 and West Bank Expressway. Because earlier today, it was gridlocked in a lot of places getting to these major arteries.
Right, exactly. Right?
It's not that you can't get on them. What happens when they're I can't get off. So it's been good to see. Man, temperatures in the 50s, being the 60s tomorrow, just gorgeous. It's been a grueling week.
Yeah, can't wait for that warm weather to melt all this white snow away. Being a Jersey boy, I still do not miss it one bit at all.
Oh, man, Sam, I mean, because we're done. Right? When was the last time? 2008?
I hope we're
2008,
done.
2008, knock on wood. I mean, you look kind of forward. We'll have a few more cold snaps, but I've never seen anything. And I'm from Northern Virginia,
yeah.
You know, the D.C. area, Virginia. And, you go out so early on Tuesday because you're like, I'm used to snow. It's going to last like an hour, right?
It hits the ground and it melts.
It lasted
right.
Nine. And so it was just crazy. And I know everybody's been fighting at schools and roadways and work. And, man, we appreciate everybody's patience.
Yeah, with MLK Day on Monday, then the rest of the week for my kiddo, he was off an entire week of school. It was like another extended Christmas break.
Yeah, it's been because nobody left. When I left work on Friday, I didn't go, what am I going to need at home for 8 days, right? So I went to work at the Superdome yesterday, and it was like six of us in our, you know, area. It just was hard to get around, but it's amazing how things changed in really the last 24 to 36 hours. So we're happy to see that. Come on out. If the roadways are approved in your area and you can't, come on out and see us at we're right at the sports book. You walk in the front doors, look to your left, you'll see Steve and myself, and you'll hear us. Probably before that.
I was wondering when I first got in, I was like, where the heck am I going now that I'm here? Ernie's got a great setup. You see the WWL signs. You can't miss us at all here at the Sportsbook.
And, you know, everybody's been kind of cooped up. I'm saying how people are ready to get out and ready for things to be open. And so, yeah, I think this is a good way to start a big weekend, right? Saints looking for their head coach still. And the way it kind of looks is they may be the last man standing, so you'll have opportunities. Dallas with maybe Schottenheimer. So the Saints, there's still a lot of people to talk to today with Weaver and then Kafka tomorrow, and I think Mike McCarthy next week.
You
still got a bunch of guys that you cannot talk to.
Right, Joe Brady might be in the mix. Cliff Kingsbury.
There's still a lot going on.
Yeah, it's a fun time right now, you know, getting out ready for these playoffs and the Saints with that head coaching search going on at the Boomtown Casino. They've got a big, easy bowl finale Saturday, January 25th. They're going to be drawing two winners that will be selected today, two winners also tomorrow. Those four winners will be called every 30 minutes from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. They get to select a briefcase to determine their prize, which ranges from $750 in slot and table play to $1,500 in pen cash. There are also going to be winners from previous weeks. All finalists will be in a drawing drum Saturday at 9:15. The winners receive a pair of big game tickets in that Caesar Superdome and also $2,500 in cash. Also, if you're a card member, you get one free entry. You can earn additional entries for every $10, 10-tier points. You get an additional entry. So stop by Boomtown here and get in on the action. You could be a winner to the big game coming up. I think February 9th in the Caesar Superdome. I know you know it well.
I do. And, you know, that's what the other thing. So the NFL came to, you know, the Superdome. They've been, you know, off and on for the last 2 years, you know, huge contact. But they came after the Saints played Tampa, right? That was on the 5th. So the next day, the NFL kind of moves in.
Yeah.
And really, since they have been here, I think we've had two decent days. Like, it's been brutally rainy and brutally cold and then 10 inches of snow. I'm sure they're going, what in the world? But hopefully I think it's going to be kind of, you know, you want to get the worst out of the way. But you know, there's a lot of build out. There's a lot of construction that goes on in that first 3 weeks, irrespective of the teams that are coming. Doesn't matter. So there's been a lot of work that they've had to battle through and challenges, and so it'll get there, and it's going to be beautiful. I mean, you're not going to be able to miss it. The red and the green that kind of are the LIX colors, man, you can't miss them. And so
the red and the green, could that mean a Chiefs and Eagles rematch in the Super Bowl from 2 years
ago? Certainly a different green. But, yeah, they do pop. That's the thing because, you know, once your team has been eliminated like the Saints, you know, people go, who do you think is going to? I don't know, right? I know who I wanted to be in.
Yeah.
I wanted Detroit and Buffalo. That's who I wanted. So that's not happening. But that would have been a phenomenal week of those fans, Buffalo and Detroit. You know, Buffalo 0-4. Detroit hadn't won. But now you kind of get an idea, right? There's no bad situation. I think probably the worst for people would be Kansas City and Philly. You know, it's just like been there, done that. Won't be a high scoring game, pounding ground, and Kansas City. Oh gosh, there you know, it'll be the Kelsey shows on both sidelines.
The thing with Kansas City though is obviously the chance for them to do that three-peat that has never been done.
You'd think that would be cool that people would go, hey, I want to, you know.
No, they're sick of it. If you're not a Chiefs fan,
so but either way, from the AFC standpoint, you're gonna have Buffalo 0-4,
right,
or Kansas City trying to do something unprecedented. Philly, who's you know going back again, you know would be what, third time in 4 years, something like that. So, or Washington out of nowhere, right?
and a rookie quarterback to win, right. Could win get to the Super Bowl for the first time ever.
First year head coach, you know, for them, and it's like, and the Saints played three of the four teams that are left. That's unusual. Now, they did lose to all three, but they were. You look at that Philly game week 3, you look at the Washington game week 15, that could have easily been victories, should have been victories for the Saints,
right.
Probably in both.
Yeah.
When you go
would've, back. Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. But, I mean, it's funny that we have seen three of these four teams. That's pretty impressive.
We are here at the Boomtown Casino. Check us out at the Sportsbook if you stop by. We're going to get to a break. When we get back, we'll hear from Jari Evans, who spoke with Mike Haas earlier this season about getting inducted into the Ring of Honor. Also, how he's been adjusting to life in the coaching ranks. Mike also spoke with Cam Jordan. We'll hear from him this hour as well. And then at the 5 o'clock hour, we'll start breaking down these conference championships. NFC's up first, getting with the Eagles insider for Sports Illustrated, John McMullen, and also host of Locked On Commanders podcast, David Harrison. 6 o'clock hour, AFC, Sal Capaccio, Bill's sideline reporter of WGR 550 in Buffalo will join us, and Josh Klinger, the Chiefs sideline reporter for 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, helping us break down everything KC. So taking a break, we'll be right back with more of Sports Talk from Boomtown Casino right here on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk here at Boomtown Casino at the Sportsbook. Lots going on. The LSU women's basketball team, number 5 in the nation, taking on number 2 South Carolina. End of the first quarter, the Gamecocks trailing by 1-2 LSU. The Tigers up 22-21. And also, Mike, the Saints tweeting out that they have completed today's interview with Anthony Weaver. So another in-person interview down for this black and gold squad.
Well, you know, because everybody always worries about snow in New Orleans and impacting these interviews. Like, what? So it's also it's how much things have changed. I mean, I know I'm old. This is going to be an old man statement. But we used to have to hide in the bushes, right?
To find out
what was going on. And I think I saw a guy, that he had a person staged at the airport. And he had a person staged at Saints camp, you know, following people around.
Now the team just tell you.
Now they tell you. Here's what we did today. We just wrapped up our in-person interview with Anthony Weaver, the defensive coordinator with Miami. They've also done it throughout the process, did our virtual. And it's very open. It's amazing. There's no secrets anymore. I mean, because you know, you can't. You just can't. This, with social media and X and Shifter and Bray, all these people.
You know, trying to keep up with everything.
Good gosh, man. It's amazing. So we'll see. And then we have the Pelicans. as well. Pelicans
That's right.
Tonight.
Yeah, 6:30 pregame coverage will be on 870 a.m. while we'll roll on here on 105.3 FM and a 7 o'clock tip-off against the Grizzlies. Pelicans looking to win their fifth straight game.
Yeah.
But we'll be without Zion tonight. They will have DeJounte Murray, and Yves Missy is back after he was dealing with an illness.
Right, but no Brandon. He's out with the ankle sprain,
right?
And no Herb, out with the shoulder still. In fact, they had 16 players between the two teams on the initial injury report. I'm like, how many people are on these? Like, that should be everybody, isn't it? That's like a lot. So six players are out for Memphis. Ja Morant's questionable right now. But, man, you know, you had that game with Milwaukee that was postponed because of the snow. I mean, they kind of had things really, like, keep the momentum going. I mean, it is what it is. Snow is what it is. But, man, they've played such good basketball, really, since that road trip, you know, with Boston and Chicago and Philly, really, you know, playing good basketball.
We were talking about the coaching search for the Saints. A coach currently on the staff that's a former player, Jari Evans. You got a chance to talk to him. I think it was right after he got inducted into the Ring of Honor in the Caesar Superdome.
Yeah, and so we're talking with Jari, you know, such a class guy and Hall of Fame finalist again, and hopefully this will be the year. We'll find out on Thursday, February 6th at the Honors. We'll find out all the MVPs and all of the awards. But we had a chance to talk to Jari not too long ago during the season as part of the Saints Hour broadcast. Here's a portion of that where he really gets into the coaching aspect and really when he found out he was going into the Ring of Honor, which they kept as a surprise. So here's a portion of that interview. Let's go back a little bit. I know we've talked. It's such a big day for you coming up on Sunday as you get into the Ring of Honor, but I kind of want to start backwards, right? July 31st, Irvine, when you got the news, and it was cool because it was in front of your peers and your players and your coaches. And I think enough time's passed. Were you surprised?
Yeah, I was really surprised. That wasn't on my radar that day. I was more so thinking about the plays, practice, you know, individual drill with the old line. Yeah, so it caught me off guard, caught me by surprise, and it was a bit emotional at first, and then I had to get it together because they wanted me to say something. So,
well, I looked at it this morning just to kind of refresh my memory because we were there but not in the room, and you know I love when the big guys get emotional, right? So I've kind of felt you were like clapping. Kind of getting you were kind of getting yourself back together, right?
Because I was.
You know what I mean? You the clap kind of helped you get it back together, but you turned it right into win each day, add each day up, win each down, add each down up, win the drive, add the drives up. At the end of the day, let's go win the division. I mean, you turned it typically, not surprisingly, nothing about you. It became about a message to the team.
Yeah, you know, it's I just remember as a player, coach is always, you know, it's very important who you put in front of the team and the message that they deliver. So I always remembered that. And I, you know, of course we played a big team game and, you know, some of those guys watched me play, you know, guys know what kind of player I was, but you know, I immediately got into coach mode and I wanted to deliver a message to inspire those guys to be the best player they can be. And that's something that I told myself when I was on the field is, you know, win the down. Add those downs up, win the drive. You add those drives up, you win the day, and ultimately you win a division.
Played 11 years for the Saints. Did play that one final year for Green Bay. We count it from NFL purposes, but from a Saints standpoint, because the numbers are astonishing to me when you think about what everybody is going through. Out of 176 possible games, you missed two games in 2013 and five in 2015. So you started 169 out of 176 out of possible during your time here. You know the game. You know what they're going through now. Those numbers must be significant even to you.
Yeah, I'm very proud of those numbers. You know, I missed seven games with the Saints, and I only missed two with Green Bay. I didn't play the last two games of that season. I had a knee issue. But, yeah, and, you know, the most streak in the road games I missed was like three because I had surgery, but I made it back quickly and to get back with the guys. So I'm very proud of being available. You hear a lot, the best ability is availability, and I was able to stay healthy.
That stretch for you that started in 09, AP first team, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, your AP second team, Pro Bowl all those years, and then Pro Bowl in 14. And those were, and people don't
probably, you have to go back and look, at least to me, they think about the 09 and the 11 and the 13 teams as being those kind of standouts. Those years, this football team ran the ball better than it threw the ball, right? And probably people wouldn't know that or wouldn't think that, right? But that's when you guys were playing good, you were running the football.
Yeah, man. I played on some great units with some great guys. And, you look at AK, who just broke Mark's record. You know, Mark was the back a lot of those years and stacked up a lot of those numbers. And the one thing I do think the organization has done and continues to do is shows the value of the guys up front. And, you know, we protected Drew well, and we were able to put up a lot of records on the ground and in the air. And it was a lot of fun.
I was looking. So in your 11 years, the Saints led the NFL in total offense 6 times. So, man, that's just boom, right? Total offense. But in those 11 years, you allowed 274 sacks. That was the lowest amount in the NFL over that period. Which of those stats means more to you?
Run versus the pass? I would say the sacks. You know, as an O-lineman, you always kind of, you know, you pride yourself on running the ball. That's the pride thing. You know, you pride yourself on running the ball, getting downfield, getting to the second level, getting the linebackers, getting your running backs to the safeties. You know, that's a given for us. We want to play, you know, big and nasty and strong. But to also not just be dominant in the run game, but also be dominant in protecting the quarterback to allow those guys, to allow them to drive the ball downfield, those guys to make play downfield. You know, you really feel the energy of the dome and the stadium and the fans when you get those big plays through the air. So, you know, those plays, you know, drove us to be successful, and the type of players that we had and Drew Brees and his skill set and his talent, we wanted to be dominant in both, not just the ground, but in protecting the quarterback as well.
Deuce gets asked all the time, man, why don't you be a coach? And I know the former players who get asked that go, dude, I've seen the job, man. I know what the job is. And it's a heck ton of work. But you were an intern in 2022 and then last year and then this year. Did you know what you were getting into? I know that answer. But how's it been? Yeah. What's the progression been like?
It's been awesome. You know, throughout my career, I did football clinics. I've done camps. I've had young men that have come up through my camps that wind up making it to the NFL. So, you know, throughout my career, I was doing teaching clinics with offensive line. And even when I retired, I have a 24-hour gym back in Philly that I've owned for 13-plus years. It's been a company for 20-plus years. So I was training guys and working with guys. But, you know, it is a grind. The coaching grind is a grind. The good thing about it is, I know football pretty well and I know technique, and I'm able to sharpen these guys' tools and add tools to their toolbox. And then the O-line is very unique because you got guys from all different body types, all different sizes that have different skill sets that move differently. And I enjoy working with those guys. And I enjoy showing them things that made me successful, and also showing them things that I've learned from my teammates over the years that made us successful and made them successful as far as tackles and centers and things of that nature. And there's about, shoot, I mean, there's a lot of us who are coaching now. I mean, Dwayne Leftford actually coaches for the Atlanta Falcons, played with him earlier in my career. You got Jonathan Goodwin, you got Zach Strieve. So, you know, there's a lot of guys coaching that I played with up front. And I think it just shows of how good of a units we've had over the years that we have a lot of linemen coaching.
Great to hear from Coach Jari Evans there, and I'm seeing, too, he's going to be involved at the Senior Bowl next week helping out with the offensive line.
Yeah, he's such a good guy, right? It was just more of a conversation.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of those, you know, where you just kind of just talk football with a guy and really kind of get to know him a little bit. I mean, think about it, though. In this time with the Saints, he missed 7 games, right? 7! Yeah, linemen missed that many this year.
No, and you know, you see those old linemen, they've got braces on elbows and knees and, you know, sleeves here, and it's really a testament of his durability and, like you said, awesome guy. So happy for him to get into that Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Ring of Honor and hopefully the Hall of Fame. I think it will happen, as he said. You know, he knows football pretty well. Yeah, I don't think anybody questioned that. And what a list, you know, as you look at the finalists for 25 years, Eli Manning, you know, Newman, 2-time Super Bowl MVP, Eric Allen, who played for the Saints, and Reggie Wayne. We're on the West Bank here at Boomtown. He went to John Arrett. You know I'm old. I look at Reggie Wayne, I go, he's 46. That made me feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm ancient. I am a dinosaur. I made first-round pick in 2001. So I mentioned Eric Allen. So, just, you know, it's just going to be, no matter what, it's going to be a great class. And I hope that it is. That's tough for guards, right? Tough for guards. If you're not a left tackle and from an offensive line or a center, it's difficult. But I do think, you know, now's the time.
Pretty impressive resume for Jahri Evans. And, yeah, just probably a better person even than anything else. Really happy for him. You see the success he's had now on the field and going into coaching. We'll see what happens with him. I wonder if one day he aspires to be kind of a head coach, or he wants to stick with the O-line.
Yeah, I don't know. It's great. You know, he's certainly a humongous leader, which is first and foremost, and he has the respect of anybody that's around him, either from coaching or playing. We saw Zach do it. You know, I mean, these guys who go that route know exactly what they're getting into, and to do it, you got to go all in. We're so happy to see what Zach's accomplished and Jahri as well. So we'll find out Thursday, February 7th. It'll be the Invisalign Honors Awards event. We'll find out all the MVPs, and we'll find out who gets in.
So we'll be rooting for Jahri and a bunch of our local flavor there, like you mentioned, with the Hall of Fame coming up. Once again, want to mention to everybody that the Saints have completed their in-person interview with Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver for the head coaching position. Tomorrow coming in will be Mike Kafka, former player, now the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. He's looking to move on up in the ranks. And we mentioned also next week it'll be sometime, though, no definite date yet, but Mike McCarthy, the former Dallas Cowboys coach, in the mix. And then we'll see what happens after these games this week with guys like a Cliff Kingsbury with the Washington Commanders and Joe Brady of the Buffalo Bills, who had time with the Saints staff and we know went on to be the passing game coordinator over at LSU for that magical championship season in 2019.
And Kellen Moore as well. You have a lot of guys that are in this mix. You know, three of the four that are still in this mix are, you know, still playing the game here.
Right.
But it just shows you kind of the length of the process. Anthony Weaver, Dolphins defensive coordinator, he had his virtual interview on January 8th. Virtual on January 8th, in person on the 24th. It's a process.
Yeah, snow did cause a little bit of an issue with that. I'm sure it would have been earlier this week if not.
Right, but still, that's a pretty good gap between your virtual and in person, because the NFL works very hard to lengthen this process.
Yeah.
Slow it down. And so it's hard to, because you can do virtual at a certain window, you can bring them in person a certain window, but they got to be either through the season or you got to wait.
It's just so odd for teams that are still in the playoffs having to deal with, you know, their coaches being interested in other positions.
It happens every year.
Yeah, right.
It's not like college. At least they stay, right? You can't hire them.
Just while I'm out of here.
That's right. Yeah. You guys deal with the bowl yourself.
Speaking of out of here, I hear the music playing. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more of our action here at Boomtown Casino. Sports Talk rolls on. Coming back, Michael will play a sit-down with Cam Jordan, another Saints great, right after this on WWL. That's right. We got out the house, hanging out at Boomtown Casino in Harvey today. We'll join us here till 7 o'clock tonight at the Sportsbook. Looking at the action going on in South Carolina, Gamecocks currently leading the LSU Tigers 33-30, a minute left till halftime over there. We'll be definitely keeping an eye on that matchup as we continue on here. And we just heard from Jahri Evans. We're hoping he gets into the Hall of Fame, and another guy one day destined for the Hall seems like a guy in Cam Jordan, still playing though. Interested to see, you know, what happens with him for next season. I know there's some question marks. Will he, won't he be back with the Saints? But one thing's for sure, I know this dude wants to play another season. There's no way Cam's thinking about hanging him up yet.
No, there's a lot to be played for when you're like DeMario and Cam and what they wanted to accomplish and kind of how they wanted to leave it. So he wins the 2025 Bart Starr Award. It's the third time he's been up for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. He had it also nominated in 2017, also in 2021, and now this past season. So, again, we had a chance to talk to Cam earlier about the situation, about his community give back, and it was just really nice to get a sit down with him and to listen to kind of his comments. And here's a portion of that interview with Cam Jordan.
Nominated again for the Walter Payton Man of the Year. It happened before, but when that comes from your peers, give me a sense of what that means to you
I think it's a huge nod to the work that I'm doing in the community. And I feel like I take everything as a challenge anyway. So I take it as a challenge that I can be better. I can be more. I can have more of a positive impact in my community. You know, I feel like it was like a rally of like, whatever you're doing, great. And for me, it was a challenge of, all right, whatever I've done, awesome, but I can always give more. I mean, I was integrated into New Orleans before I was integrated really as a New Orleans Saint. The city showed me so much love when it was a lockout year that most of my friends were New Orleanians. You know, like real work, eat, live in New Orleans versus the transplants that football players seem to be, you know? So it was easy to embrace the culture. But growing up, I had a dad who played for the Minnesota Vikings and started up all types of charity events, first team program out in Phoenix, where, you know, they bring in inner city youth kids to the game of golf, introduce them to the game of golf. And as long as I can remember, I've always seen, you know, acts of kindness from my mom in our surrounding community. So it was just something I grew up with. So growing up with it, you always aspire to be like your parents, emulate actions that you see as positive impacts. And that was the easiest way to go about it. But it's more along the lines of seeing the smiles on kids' faces, you know, whether that's the PFEs from the play football focus camps, play it forward in high school. Anytime you've had interactions with the next generation, the next kids, the guys that look up to, you've always been re-inspired. So going to these school visits is darn near selfish at this point. When I go out there and I'm talking to kids and you see them light up and you see how they, you know, they want to play professional sports. They want to go, you know, go to college and play for their team. They want to be great. They want to take their grades to the next level so they have opportunities or chances. You feel re-inspired. You feel reinvigorated, of like you're looking at infinite potential. You know, a kid who's 8, 9, 10, 12, 14, 16 has their whole life in front of them, hopefully, has 40, 50, 60 years. And this is those foundational type moments that you can leave a positive impact on them. You would never know what kid needs to hear your talk, what kid needs to be affected until, you know, 5, 10, call it 14 seasons later, when you see a kid that was 8 or 9 years old now sitting at 23, 24, like, hey, man, I wanted to go to, you know, Cal because you came in and talked about Cal. I wanted to be a professional football player, but I remember how much you stressed the importance of academics. And it's like, you know, now I'm taking my LSATs and I'm pushing towards a better degree because I want to have better opportunity. But I remember you talking about school was first before it was football. And it's moments, the interactions that I've had over the last 5 years that have made me realize how much of an impact I've had talking to kids in school. So it's creating the scholarships. It's creating, you know, the backpack drives, the school give backs, the teacher supply, back school drives. It's feeding the homeless. It's partnering with United Way. It's doing whatever it takes to be a part of this community that can have a positive impact, because you never know how much positivity you can create from it.
First and 10. Fakes the handoff back to throw. A little stunned. He does. The ball comes loose and Minshew gets it, but that'll be it. That should be the sack for Cam Jordan, and that should be the record.
That's the record. Congratulations to the new Saints sack leader. Franchise history.
First notable game of the career would have been like Mike Vick 3-sack game Philadelphia was at 2012, because that was the first 3-sack game. And it was Mike Vick. Come on. Everybody played with Mike Vick on Madden when we had Algie Crumpler. You know, like it was Mike Vick. And then I guess the other one would just be, sadly, I'm always going to remember the 3-sack game against Philadelphia breaking the Saints record. It's just not as epic. Like, you know, the first sack was against Cam Newton. The 100th sack was against Tom Brady. The 113, 14th, and 15th and a half sack was against Gardner Minshew. Just, for some reason, Gardner's just not doing it. And I have the pantheon of quarterbacks. Not saying he's not a good one. He's just not legendary in my mind.
Met your dad somewhat when you signed your contract this summer. And I wasn't afraid of him, but I just went, man, that's an intimidating cat. He was just an intimidating guy. And now I'm thinking, you're the father of four. I'm going, I think Cam Jordan would be the greatest dad in the world, man. He's fun. We laugh. And I'm just wondering, what kind of dad is Cam Jordan?
Man, I think I'd hold the moniker for fun dad. If you ask the wife, that's definitely my role.
You are good cop. She is bad cop.
She is the concrete as well as the walls, the ceiling of the household. And I just happen to be the wonderful, beautiful pattern window that gets to look outside. You know, like I am the fun that they want to get to. And at the same time, I'm also the ceiling. If mom gets mad, guess who has to bring the hammer? Me. So my role doesn't change much from the D-line. I get to be fun. And at the same time, if I have to come bring be the bearer of bad news, I'd be that as well. I get to be me 24/7.
Man, that is awesome stuff from Cam Jordan. Love hearing from him. And it really, truly is amazing the amount of work he does for the community. When everybody is off on Tuesdays, Cam's working, quote-unquote, busy going, attending schools, not just one, multiple in a day, just giving that message to kids. And that impact he's had on the community is awesome.
It's amazing. And, you know, I feel like he's in pretty good position post-football. I feel like there will be a job for him out there in the sphere. He's just an interesting guy. I was interested to hear about the dad situation because he's just a fun guy. I'm like, well, he can't be that guy at home. But he is. He is. You know, and you know this. Sometimes when you're interviewing Cam, if you don't pay attention, halfway through you realize he's interviewing you, right? The shoe has changed. And so best of luck to him, deserving as well of the Walter Payton and, again, the winner of the Bart Starr. So just well done.
Do you know the date we find out the winner of the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award?
I think it's I want to say it's the same.
With the honors?
I want to say, you know.
Okay.
I should know, but I don't. But I want to say it's the
same. I should know, too.
No, good luck. But I do believe it is.
Looking at the score of the LSU women's basketball game, the Lady Tigers down 3 at the half. It's 33 South Carolina, 30 LSU Tigers. That action will be resuming shortly in SoCal.
It is. It is the Thursday at the Invisalign Honors Awards Banquet. So Walter Payton, all the MVP and everything.
So good luck to Cam in that for sure. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. We're going to be in the Sports Book and Cafe here till 7 o'clock. Why don't you come in, stop by, put some money on a game or two for this weekend. We'll be right back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, and boy, has it been a long week. And I know everybody is ready for some football. You can catch the NFL Conference Championship Sunday on WWL. First up, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. Pre-game starts 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2. Then it's the Buffalo Bills battling the returning back-to-back champs Kansas City Chiefs. Kickoff set for 5:30. You don't have to miss a minute of the action Sunday starting 1 o'clock on your home for the NFL and Super Bowl 59, WWLAMFM.com. And, of course, the Odyssey app. Coming up next hour, we're going to be getting into our previews of the conference championships, getting the NFC up first, hitting on the Eagles and with the Commanders. Looking forward to that game for sure to see how that rookie Jaden Daniels does. It's been an amazing year for him. And to think that the Commanders would be in this position at the start of the year, I know nobody could have seen this coming.
No, cardiac Commanders, right? New coach, rookie quarterback. And it just, you know, it all came to fruition. And a lot of it is because of those games. Because of those games that they won, they beat Chicago on a last-second Hail Mary, were able to survive the Saints on a missed two-point conversion, beat Philly in Week 18 on a last-second touchdown pass. So that's three games right there. You know, so they just – sometimes it's your time, right? Sometimes
right.
It's
just
your time.
Finding the way to win.
They're playing and I heard this is because we're a Boomtown. They're playing with house money. They are playing with house money. They got nothing to lose.
We're all in here at the Boomtown Casino in Harvey. Stop by and say hey at the Sportsbook and Cafe. Taking a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll get back getting into our NFC conference preview. Also, your call is 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Right back after this on WWL.